Good afternoon, and welcome to Ask the Mayor. I'm WFIU News Director Will Murphy, and our guest this afternoon is Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. If you have a comment or question that you'd like to submit for conversation with Mayor Burke, please feel free. The number in Bloomington is 855-0811. Toll free outside the Bloomington area, 877-285-9348. And if you'd like to drop us an email, that address is mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone numbers, if you'd like to join the program, 855-0811 in Bloomington, 877-285-9348 outside the Bloomington area, toll free. And if you'd like to submit your comment or question via email, the address is mayor@indiana.edu. And we actually have an email or two already lined up, so it looks like it might be a good idea to get those in as early as possible. Mayor Burke, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Will. It's always a delight.
Let's start off, if we may, with on a rather serious and somber topic, and that is the memorial service that's scheduled for tomorrow for Jessica Jones. She was the young lady who died, who was killed by her ex-husband, Major Jones, outside a Terre Haute hotel recently. And it's ironic because it falls at the very same time that a lot of people in Terre Haute went out on the streets to take back the night, as it were. Is the city doing what it can to address the topic of domestic violence in Terre Haute?
I believe we are. Unfortunately and tragically, our community is not immune to the domestic violence issue that our entire nation suffers from. I believe that we're going to have to do an awful lot of different things to make a difference here. And yet this morning, I was in a gathering with some kindergartners and talking about bullying in our schools, and read a proclamation today declaring it is a safe day, which is stop America's violence everywhere. And it's a situation where we're asking kids to understand that hands are not to hit, and starting very young. Violence is a learned behavior, so from our perspective, we need to make sure that it's not the loudest voice when it comes to our young people. And I want to commend two of my police officers, Officer Brad Newman and Officer John Hopper, who were first on the scene at this tragic event. We've already received thank yous from the staff at the hotel involved, and I just want to commend them. It was a tragic event, and they performed their jobs very well. The biggest challenge that we face from a public safety standpoint is when the people that are victims of domestic violence do not use all of the resources at their disposal. They have to remove themselves from the situation and the environment of the domestic abuse. And, Will, as you know, you read story after story where the victim does not remove themselves from the environment, and it's very hard to protect them then.
And this is a very unusual circumstance or situation. From what I understand, the woman was looking for some security in a hotel, but because of security precautions, she couldn't get in the hotel away from this guy.
And this is, you know, from our perspective, this is very tragic that, this was someone that was not from our community, that came from another community here and perpetrated this. It's unfortunate that we weren't in a position, or that there wasn't enough security around to keep this from happening.
Absolutely. Since you reference giving some commendation to the police officers, we might just segue quickly to reference citation for one of your firefighters as well.
Firefighter firefighter Hunt is been recognized a couple of times. He has done a very admirable job of serving not only the people of Terre Haute, but serving our nation as well through his deployment. And we're just glad to have him back, and we're glad that he's being recognized for his above and beyond service.
And he was recently given the Firefighter of the Year Award by the Exchange Club, I believe.
Correct.
So hats off to him as well. Mm-hmm. On a different story and a happier note, the Hilton Inn recently opens to much fanfare in Terre Haute. What was it like? You've been there.
Well, I can tell you it was absolutely a delightful stay there. To stand and be looking out the windows at 7th and Wabash was truly a good feeling. We like to say that we're making memories again on that corner. We certainly are appreciative of all of the private sector risk that was taken to put a Hilton Garden Inn on that corner. Tim Dora and his company and some local developers have made that all possible. And we're very pleased with their bringing that to fruition, the opening of the hotel. The hospitality business in Terre Haute is thriving. Not only, I want to give a plug to Tim Dora's cousin, Jim Dora, and his company, who just opened a Spring Hill Suites on the south end of town behind the Holiday Inn. And they're doing remarkably well as in the market too. So the hospitality business is thriving. We feel like that is a very good indicator of the vitality of our community, and it certainly has elevated the enthusiasm, and it's very enjoyable.
Now, when this project was first getting underway, and different futures for the Terre Haute House were being considered, there was a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion, and some folks were not happy with the way the decision went. Is that
don't
sort
say.
Of? Well, you're shocked.
I'm shocked to hear that.
Is that issue put to rest now? I mean, how do you address that question of a piece of Terre Haute history versus this new building?
Well, I think the best way for us to embrace the future is for us to realize that this is the fourth Terre Haute House on that corner. The third one did not make it. It sat empty for 20-plus years, and I believe it was actually empty longer than it was thriving. So I think the best thing that we can do is embrace the fourth Terre Haute House on that corner and see if we can't enjoy a longer string of success.
Now, how many rooms does that add to your convention capacity or your tourist capacity, and what does that mean for the city's efforts to draw visitors to town?
We've actually this year added a couple of hundred rooms and to our capacity, and when we're currently our Visitors and Convention Bureau does a remarkable job of filling up our local hotels. We're running about 30 plus weekends a year of selling out most all of our rooms that we have available. One of the things that was critical in us in our efforts to secure the permanent site for the NCAA Division I cross country finals was additional hotel space. They were having to house people in Greencastle and in Plainfield because we were maxed out, and it was they wanted to see a commitment from our part to increase the number of rooms available. And I can tell you, November 17th, there's no rooms available in Terre Haute. Every room is filled with the cross-country event, and we're finding that we can support a large number. We can support an increased number of rooms very, very well. I think this enables us to get out there and compete for more and more events that lead to the economic vitality of our community. When we have the infrastructure, you know, infrastructure is more than just public infrastructure. Private sector infrastructure helps us compete as well.
You've got all kinds of things that are just wrapping up, just getting underway, continuing going on, juggling a lot of bowling pins right now in terms of construction and both road construction and building development. Is there a sequence in mind? Do you have a sort of grand vision for how things are going to look different when, say, you get a, you're successful in this election campaign, your next term is over, how things are going to look?
Well, I think the overall far-reaching objective is to be competitive in job growth and prosperity. So there's, we basically look at two directions on that. One, we continue to work the wastewater treatment side. I mean, that's the one utility that the city owns. So in cooperation with our other utilities, we're wanting to make sure that we have the capacity for growth on that side. And then you have the logistics side. We need to be able to move people and product efficiently through our community. And so that brings in rail relocation as well as increasing the number of north-south and east-west thoroughfares. We do not feel that Terre Haute is served well by just adding lanes to thoroughfares or arteries that are at capacity. Giving people other options is a much more aesthetically pleasing, environmentally pleasing way to handle our capacity needs. Rather than just creating bigger streets, we need more options. And that's what you're going to continue to see. We're finishing up 13th Street Phase 2 this year, and you know, the extension of 19th Street from Wabash to Locust is still on the radar screen. We want to see that happen. Brown Avenue becoming Brown Boulevard and connecting Locust to Maple, extending 8th Avenue across to Fruit Ridge from Brown. I mean, all of these projects are designed to create relief where we're at capacity and give our folks more options.
All righty. I'll take a moment to remind our listeners that we're talking today with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke. If you have a comment or question for the mayor, the number toll-free is 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, the number is 855-0811. And if you'd like to drop a comment or question via email, the address is mayor@indiana.edu. We do have an email here, and Bob writes, "With the election approaching, I'm sure there are a lot of people who'd like to know why you felt it was necessary to reroute Margaret Avenue so that it runs through Greg Gibson's Walmart property. Can you explain that?"
Well, I can tell you this. The decision to reroute Margaret Avenue had very little to do with who owned the property, but as to how that property needs to be developed. To develop the property, first of all, we needed a traffic signal on 46, or developers would not allow, I mean, developers just would not locate there. That had been proven. You can only have a traffic signal on a state highway at a city street. So the city street was built there. But for us to do that, we required all of the right-of-way, all of the land to be donated, and 11 curb cuts on 46 to be given up by the property owner so that we could create a frontage road and develop the property so that we don't have a duplication of South 3rd Street. Everyone that lives in Terre Haute knows the challenges that we have on South 3rd, because it was not developed with frontage road style development. And we had the opportunity on the east side, at being at the front end of the development, to make sure that that was not replicated. So through that process, we were able to make sure that the people of Terre Haute had excellent traffic infrastructure, and it had very little to do with who the developer was. You know, it the writer of the email, of course, is subscribing to the idea that prominent property owners and developers get the breaks. And quite frankly, it's much more of a situation from our perspective. We're looking for good projects, and it doesn't matter to us who brings us the good projects. We feel it's the city's responsibility to make sure that those projects are developed in a fashion that benefits all the people of Terre Haute, and a duplication of South Third has been made very clear to us that they didn't want that to happen. So that's the best answer that I can give as to why we have developed an alternative route for Margaret Avenue. You can also, for the people of Terre Haute, they know the situation very well. Dumping a great deal more traffic into the Margaret 46 intersection would not serve us well at all. That intersection's at capacity and a bottleneck already. So this gives us an alternative.
Boy, it seems like whoever I talk to, South 3rd Street in Terre Haute is really providing a lot of instructions of what not to do in the future in terms of street planning.
Well, it basically was developed under the tyranny of the immediate, and us having the opportunity to be in front of the development with the infrastructure, I believe, produces a much better product.
Now let's talk briefly. We've got about 10 more minutes here. We're in the midst of a political campaign season, the municipal elections.
I noticed that.
Instead of saying, starting off anyway, with what you have in mind, what have you been hearing people talk about as you give various presentations? What's of concern to folks in Terre Haute that they'd like to see their public officials address?
Well, Will, I can tell you that Terre Haute's no different than many of the communities in Indiana. Property taxes are at the very top of people's lists. The media has made sure that there's not much other to talk about. I'm not blaming the media. I'm just saying...
Stupid media.
I would just say, I mean, it's similar to what's happening in Washington, D.C. There's really no other sub... The top three subjects in Washington, D.C. happen to be Iraq. Our lobbyists tell us that there's really not any other air to breathe out there. In Indiana, our top three subjects are property taxes. Here in Terre Haute, the political conversation is the growth of the city budget. Well, it's important for everyone to understand that less than 50% of our budget is funded through property taxes. The budget grows because we found exterior funding. When you are able and successful in acquiring federal money, state money, grants, and all of the things, you know, all of the funding streams that we've attracted, you have to budget those. So your budget will grow. But what is important, I think, for people to understand is that that growth is not necessary. I mean, that's not linked to their property taxes. The city of Terre Haute can only increase its property tax levy the same as everybody else, which is 3.7%. The growth in our budget is because we found other monies to spend through hard work and our lobbying efforts, et cetera. So the subject is always about property taxes. But there's so many different things, Will, that impact our property taxes, and it's made evident by it now actually getting on the legislature's radar screen to the point that they're talking about maybe addressing it. And I'll make one comment here. I hope that we actually address the issue in a fashion that produces results that will make Indiana more competitive. Anything short of a constitutional change is pretty much a Band-Aid. And I would hope that all of the listeners will talk to their legislators and say, let's stop fighting about who's going to be in control and get some relief to us that are trying to do government and to us that are doing, to those that are doing the private sector, so that Indiana can win. It's imperative that we change how we fund.
How do you see that constitutional amendment being couched? I mean, this is the proposal that the governor also has addressed. So just in the fact that you two both can speak in favor of this constitutional amendment suggests there can be bipartisan support for that approach. But what exactly would it look like? I mean, what kind of funding announcement or funding setup would you have in that constitutional amendment?
Well, I think we need, for lack of a better term, a cocktail of funding sources, or a casserole, or a fruit salad, or whatever analogy you want, where we get away from this situation of one size fits all, because basically one size fits none of us adequately. And I think it's not a case of us having to reinvent the wheel. The very states that we're competing against, you know, are the ones that I think that we can model some of the solutions from. There's always been the argument, Will, that property taxes are stable, far more stable than income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, that's a component. Stability does need to be considered. But it also harms a lot of people, because a couple that has put a lot of their wealth into their property reach retirement age, they can't afford to stay in their home. If you stay with that as your primary funding source, and you compare that to what the potential for income tax, which is, or any of your, or a sales tax, or any of those that you have some discretion over, makes a big difference. So I think anything short of a tremendously innovative new approach is just going to be more of the same and delaying the inevitable.
Okay. I would like to pursue this topic, but we have a caller on the line, and I like to go to callers before offering my own questions. We have Nate on the line. Nate, go ahead.
Hey, Mayor Burke.
Hi, Nate.
Quick question. What do you think Terre Haute is posing to do about foreclosures and real estate fallout as the nation is in the throes of the credit crunch and all the fallout there? How do you think that'll affect Terre Haute? And what do you think the city has to do about that?
Well, I think we try to take everything that occurs and look for the opportunity in it. And I don't want that to sound like some kind of platitude. I believe that there is still a great deal of opportunity here for first-time home buyers and people with, let's say, challenging credit scores, for them to become homeowners. And I can tell you that we've already had meetings with our redevelopment department, and we're looking at a number of things that have worked elsewhere. Unfortunately, not all of them have been legislated in Indiana. There's solutions that other states have used to enhance or bridge that affordability gap in home ownership. The situation is that even If you take all of Indiana, our housing costs remain low enough that there's not that urgency like there is in other markets where people can't afford to buy a home. Our situation is not just like that, but I believe we can use some of the very same tools that have been used elsewhere to help us get home buyers over the hump and into homes. And it's going to take a combination of using our builders, our lending institutions, and some of the tools that we can acquire through government to make sure that that happens. It's an opportunity for us to step in where the subprime folks have actually, in my opinion, buried people and put them in upside down into homes and caused this problem. Homes that end up being foreclosed on are a nightmare for the city, especially if the mortgage company is out of state and hard to pin down. They create nightmares for us from a standpoint of maintaining the properties and et cetera. So from our position, what we want to do is to take advantage of the subprime people moving out of the market and using our traditional finance people and becoming creative with some programs to get people into home ownership.
Just to follow up, thank you for the call, Nate. Just to follow that up, can you give us a ballpark figure of what the foreclosure rate is in Terre Haute or Vigo County as opposed to nationally?
I'm going to have to claim ignorance on that one, Will.
Okay, but you feel confident saying it's perhaps a problem, but not of the same degree that is in other markets.
No, Terre Haute enjoys a situation where we never seem to enjoy the peaks or have to endure the absolute peaks, or nor do we have to endure the absolute valleys. So we usually find ourselves much more in the median. And see, if you look at our cost of living, we tend to run in the 89 to 90 percentile of similar cities. So we're able to dodge a few of the bullets.
Kind of on economic Paxil or something like that. It just all kinds of evens out.
Mm-hmm.
What would you see the legislative package looking like, though, if you talk about how Indiana doesn't have the sort of remedies that other states have? We have about a minute. Any suggestions as to what the legislature might look for next session?
Well, I mean, we're looking at certainly one of the things we're looking at is a workers' tax credit where the ability for us to bring people to Terre Haute in certain that are new to Terre Haute in certain type employment positions and getting tax credits for forgivable loans to help them with housing costs. Where it's used elsewhere is once again that gap when they're moving from low cost housing to a market that has high cost housing. And that's where it's used there to help people make that jump, okay, like someone going from here to the West Coast. Well, what we're looking at it is as an incentive to get people to move here.
Okay. We are going to have to leave our discussion there. Next time we speak with you, it will be the middle of Fund Drive here, and and there'll be an election. A lot of things changing between now and next time we talk. Thank you for visiting us with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Will. It's always a delight for me, and we wish you the best.
All right. Appreciate it. We've been visiting with Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke this afternoon. Next week, our guest will be Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan. On behalf of Colin Bishop, our producer, and Mike Pashkash, our engineer, I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286 horsepower TL Type S with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.